This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, Sam.
Hi.
Hi. How are you going?
Good. How are you?
Very well.
Monday,
thank
Monday.
You. Did you have a good weekend?
I did actually. Yes.
That's good.
Yes. Did you have a good weekend?
Yes. And I hear that you've got some Janet Jackson for
us
today.
I do. Yes. We're going to take it all the way back to 1989.
Yes.
And we're going to look at the 30th anniversary of Janet Jackson's classic Rhythm Nation 1814, and it's quite appropriate because she's going to be playing here in about a month's time.
Yeah, this festival is insane.
It is.
There's all these other artists that come through.
50 Cent's going to be here.
Yeah.
Jason Derulo.
Oh my god.
Lots of our own very own Savage, I believe, is playing. Scribe.
Savage.
Lots of great people, but Janet Jackson is like supreme. She's top of the bill.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
It's appropriate that I think we pay respect to this great album.
Hey, if you're listening, Janet, we love you.
We do. So she was born in 1966, and she's the youngest of the Jackson family children, all nine of them. She began her career appearing in the variety TV series The Jacksons in 1976, and she signed her first record contract in 1982. She was just 16 years old, very young.
Wow.
And she released three albums in 4 years after that. The third of these, which was her breakthrough album, in 1986, they went to number one. She was only 20 when that happened. And already this early on, she was being seen as the next new young pop icon, along with the likes of Madonna, Whitney Houston, you know, big, big names.
All of them.
All of those people, yeah. So after the success of the third album, Control, her label wanted her to make another album similar to that. And she wasn't that keen on that. She wanted to be more creative. She wanted to have more control, and she wanted to make a more socio-political conscious album, I guess. And in particular, her motivation for this album was to reach more younger people. She wanted to influence them to make more positive changes in society and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yes.
And there are quite a lot of very pointed stop the violence messages throughout the album.
Very much. Yes, that was the deal. And so she went back into the studio with a songwriting team called Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and they'd actually worked with her before. They were one of the hot songwriting duos in R&B at the time. And they spent 7 months recording this album. Mm. It was very ambitious. It's 20 tracks long. And musically, it's very varied. It encompasses a lot of different styles of music here. There's pop, there's rock, there's dance. And most prominently, there's New Jack Swing. And this was the age of New Jack Swing, of course, with people like Bobby Brown, The Deal, Teddy Riley.
Could you explain to all of us who don't know what that is, what is New Jack
it's
Swing?
Like, it was like a popular kind of R&B style of music that was quite dance-oriented at the time.
Yeah.
It kind of came in the late 80s by this guy, Teddy Riley, a hot name producer.
A lot of snare,
A lot of pop, a lot of, yeah, drum machines and
synthesized.
A lot of the bands
sounds.
Had like choreographed dance moves going on and stuff.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. Oh my gosh, Janet is going to be dancing at this concert. It's going to be awesome.
Yep. So that was like the thing. She kind of wanted to tap into this in a way as well. So you'll hear a lot of that on this record. As I was saying, lots of drum machines, big, big, bold 80s production here. And you would think it wouldn't lend itself to the nature of the lyrics, which dealt with things like you were saying, things like racism and drug abuse, homelessness, youth illiteracy, etc. But it actually worked. The combination was actually quite good. Mm. Yeah. So, without further ado, let's kick things off with the title track and the second single from the album. It's obviously a big, big tune, Rhythm Nation. Very classic New Jack Swing feel to this. Hard-hitting rhythm track, which is very typical of this record. And it was a big, big hit. It reached number two in the Billboard charts. And it also earned a Grammy nomination for its production. Yeah. There it is.
We'll be right back.
session, Jenna Jackson.
It's party time.
It's a party time.
It's a party time.
All right, so we've got some texts in. One of them says, more Janet.
More Janet, it's coming.
Yes.
You know it.
And the other one is saying that they're not actually a fan of Janet. But, that, you know, you paid for that text, so whatever.
We can't please everybody.
Well, it's my show. I can Janet if I want to.
We're going
to
Janet it out.
Yeah,
yes.
And are you a kid of 89? I'm a kid of 89.
88.
Oh, you're 88. Yeah. Ah, so yeah, you're
actually,
even more legit.
Well, actually, to be honest, I'm not really. I was only 10 days into 88.
Oh.
I only got 10 days of 88, so I'm more in 89.
True. Okay, yeah.
So the next thing we're going to play is track number 8 and also the lead single of this record. It's called Miss You Much, and it spent 4 weeks at number one in the Billboard charts, making it the longest number one of 1989. It also earned Jackson 2 Grammy nominations as well. More Grammys. More hi-hat.
Give me more Grammys. Give me more hi-hat. Huh.
Huh. We'll be right back. just love the percussion in there. That is the end, yes.
Yes, it is. But not quite the end of anniversary albums.
No, you lucky bastards.
Yeah, yeah. So Sam Smith has chosen something. Okay, so every week it can either be like the listeners love it or the listeners are polarized or they hate it, whatever. We'll play it anyway.
That's the beauty of anniversary albums.
But yeah, there are a lot of people who are really into this, Janet.
They
and there's
yep.
other people who absolutely cannot stand her and they're all texting at the same time.
I know, it's crazy.
It's fabulous.
I love it.
Yeah, you do actually quite
love
it.
I do actually. I get very excited by this.
Yeah, yeah. Because having an opinion is way better. Complacency is the enemy, of course, and that's why we love playing music to you, our listeners.
Yeah,
you guys,
yeah.
We treasure you so much.
But I did like the text that came in about the Flying Nun fan who was a massive fan of this as well.
So this Janet is so good. I was 18 when it came out and all into Flying Nun and student radio at the time, but this always stands out as outstanding music. Woo! It's outrageously well produced.
It is so well produced. And if you brought in an engineer right now, they'd tell you exactly that.
Yes.
They would.
Yes.
Thank you.
and we also got another one in. That album and Paula Abdul, Shut Up and Dance, where my mother's got to in the late 80s. I think we still have the tapes with somewhere too.
Oh, yo.
And she did aerobics as well in Floral Colours.
Oh, my God. Aerobics on stage.
I mean, I'd do some aerobics, I reckon.
Damn right. Yeah, this would be good for aerobics, I reckon.
Yeah,
or gymnastics or, you know, that kind of thing.
I don't think I'd last about 2 seconds of Janet's workout, but I would try.
Yeah,
and
give it a go. Cut a few.
Maybe go to hospital, trying. Floral gear.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway.
All right, shall we talk about the legacy?
Yes.
And the reception. All
yes.
right, so this had quite positive reviews on its release. Critics obviously liked the diverse nature of the music, the incorporation of socio-political themes and the lyrics, the production, as we've mentioned. It was a massive, massive success. It reached number one in the Billboard charts, going 6 times platinum, selling 12 million copies, massive record. It also became, at the time, the only album to have 7 singles all reach top 5 positions in the Billboard charts, which is quite a big deal. And it's the only album to produce number one hits in 3 separate years. So it was a record breaker in that regard as well. In terms of its wider legacy, it's considered to be her best album and also one of the best sort of pop R&B albums from the late 80s era, especially among big female acts as well. And it definitely cemented her as a massive pop star, which she would continue to be right through the 90s and into the 2000s. And yeah, of course.
I think a lot of people had their first pash on the dance floor with Janet.
It's highly likely, yes.
Just saying.
Highly likely. And of course, she's influenced so many people. Rihanna, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, even male stars like The Weeknd, Frank Ocean.
Well, I can hear a lot of Michael Jackson in this, actually.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just been great. And it just shows you that there's so much more to Janet than just what happened at the Super Bowl.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to finish with track number 10 and the 7th single from the record. This is called Love Will Never Do. It was a number one hit as well off this album, the 4th number one out of 7 singles. And Pitchfork, incidentally, that well-known alternative indie publication, named it the 27th best song of the 1980s.
Great. Well,
there you go.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you.
I know that haters are going to hate. And
it's Monday morning.
But it goes to show that even if a top 40 artist is played 30 years on, they can still cause quite a disruption in people's lives.
Radiohead were a top 40 artist, just saying.
Yeah, true. It is true. And we like to open ourselves to different music.
We do. No regrets here.
No regrets. For those of you who are loving the Janet, kia ora, thank you very much for texting in. And thanks for everyone to text in, actually.
Peace.
And see you next week, Sam.
Cool. Bye.
Bye.
happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.